Okay, welcome to the November 17th, 2022 meeting of the Colorado River Basin Regional Water Quality Control Board. For everyone joining us in the meeting room, please turn off or silence your cell phones. This meeting is being webcast and recorded, so please speak clearly. This meeting is being conducted in a physical location and is also available via remote access. For people who only want to watch or listen to the meeting, the board's customary webcast is available. For those in the Zoom meeting, you will be muted with your camera off until it is your turn to speak. The host will then unmute you and ask you to turn on your camera if you have one. When you are done speaking and the board members have completed asking questions, you will be placed on mute and your camera turned off. You can remain in the Zoom meeting until the completion of your item, and then you may choose to exit the meeting or continue. The first item is our Pledge of Allegiance. Peter, would you please lead us?
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice for all.
Before we continue, I would like to ask the clerk to do a roll call, please.
Chair Powell?
Present.
Vice Chair Music?
Present.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Good morning, present.
Board Member Perez? Board Member Satin?
Present.
Board Member Wright?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. The purpose of this meeting is for the regional board members to obtain testimony and information from concerned and affected parties within the Colorado River Basin region regarding water quality issues. Our second item is our public forum. We welcome hearing from the public at this meeting. Any person wishing to speak should have submitted a speaker's request as described in the agenda instructions. For those items listed on today's agenda, you will make your comments at the time the item is being considered. If you wish to speak on an item that's not on the agenda, you may speak now during the public forum. Comments will generally be limited to 3 minutes. The board clerk can now identify the speakers who have submitted speaker cards from the public. Do we have any speaker cards?
No, Madam Chair, we do not.
Thank you. Thank you. Item 3 is approval of the minutes for the October 11th board meeting, and I believe there are 2 corrections.
Yeah, yes, on the minutes on number 5, item number 5 on that agenda. At the very beginning, it says vice chair administered the oath, and also the same thing in item number 6. And I think that should be chair, not vice chair.
Correct.
Because that was Brawley.
Yes, and you were, Ed was remote.
Correct.
That day. Case, are there any other corrections? No? Okay. I'd like a motion and a second, please, for approval of the minutes.
Motion to approve with the suggested 2 changes.
A second.
I'll second.
Chair Powell?
Aye.
Vice Chair Music?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Perez? Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Item 4 is the board meeting calendar for next year, 2023. The dates are the second Tuesdays of each month other than June. At least it says on here June 27th. So Do those dates work? We've been having these meetings on the second Tuesday and they seem to be working with everyone's schedules.
I don't have any conflicts at the moment for 2023, but I'll let you know if they pop up.
Yeah, Tuesdays work well for me. This calendar is good.
Everything.
Do we have any other comments on the proposed meeting calendar?
I think isn't B online?
I believe so. Yes.
Oh, is Vivian online too?
I think Vivian. Are they both on now? B or Vivian? Did you guys have any comments on the meeting dates for next year?
For me, the second Tuesday is a little rough on our meetings. Last long, just because I have some standing meetings that start at noon. But if it works for everyone else, worse comes to worse, you know, I'll just try to navigate that.
I'm fine with the dates.
We also, Paula and Cassandra worked with our audio company on these dates and balancing all this for the second Tuesdays because of all the other regions as well. So I would encourage us to try to retain that date.
Yeah, the state board has asked the regional boards to try to distribute the meetings so there's no more than two regional boards per week. And luckily we were able to retain this particular date. If we choose to move it, then we may run the risk of not having support by AGP at a particular meeting.
Would it help if we started earlier, 8 or 8:30?
Actually, it may help if we start a little later for some of our board members who travel.
Oh, because I thought Bea said she had a conflict.
True. So,
yeah, for me, earlier would actually work. And I would be okay with that. I do know we have two members who travel, but, you know.
Right now, we have them generally at 9 o'clock, which seems to work. And our meetings are usually done by noon. I think there's been one or two that have gone a little longer. I would hesitate to move it any earlier because of our board member that has like a 2-hour drive.
And okay. we can always move the voting stuff up front, and you know, first True. In the meeting before we do any of the informational stuff. So good, and so we, that might help be get to our noon meeting.
No, actually it's not new. It's
noon, noon.
Yeah, standing meetings that I've had for it's been several years, but it never actually really conflicted because usually we were done, but on the meetings that go a little longer it does. But you know, that I think that's a good suggestion, board member, right? To you know, have the voting and the information. I think that would work if I ever had to excuse myself. Not that this is not important, just trying to navigate a few things.
Busy lady.
I try.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for all you do anyway.
So shall we vote on the agenda then? I think we have to approve it. Yep.
Board, it is a board action.
Yes. So we used
to. You have the power.
Yeah. We'll approve.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Chair Powell?
Aye.
Vice Chair Music?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So can someone send out the meeting invites for all those dates to us so they'll be on our calendars? Thank you. Okay, moving on to item 5, which is our WDR for Scirocco Summit. So I am now opening the hearing for agenda item 5, which is Waste Discharge Requirements Order R7. 2022-0041 and the corresponding monitoring and reporting program. for Scirocco Summit Water District's wastewater treatment disposal system. Madam Clerk, do we have any speaker cards for this agenda item?
No, Madam Chair, we do not have speaker cards, but we do have the dischargers online for any comments or questions.
Thank you. I will now administer the oath. So all persons intending to speak on this item, please raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under the penalty of perjury? If so, please answer, I do. Please state your name and affiliation and whether you have taken the oath before testifying. The order of our speakers this morning will be a presentation by Scott Stormo, board staff, comments from the discharger, comments from the public, board member comments and discussion, followed by closing the hearing, and then a vote. Scott?
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Scott Stormo. I am an engineering geologist here at the Water Board. I have taken the oath, and my presentation this morning is regarding waste discharge requirements for the Scirocco Summit Water System Improvement Project proposed to be constructed at Scirocco Summit. Next slide. This presentation will provide background information regarding the proposed water system improvement project, show some photographs of existing conditions, describe the proposed facility, summarize the key features of the discharge and the proposed order, summarize public comments, and recommend that the order be adopted. Next slide. This is a satellite photo showing the location of Scirocco Summit near the middle of the photo, which is a small community located along Interstate 10, about halfway between Indio on the left and Desert Center on the right. Next slide. This is a closer view showing the community of Scirocco Summit just north of Interstate 10, which is the linear feature extending east-west across the southern part of the photo. An airstrip is also present north of I-10 and extends out of view to the right. The linear feature across the top of the photo is the Colorado River Aqueduct, which is the source of drinking water for the community. Next slide. This is an even closer view. And you can begin to see some details of the community. There is a gas station and convenience store close to I-10. About 20 mobile homes and a swimming pool are north of the gas station, and the General Patton Museum is west of the mobile homes. Water obtained from the Colorado River Aqueduct is stored temporarily in an open reservoir, referred to as the Raw Water Reservoir, which is the round feature at the top of the photo. Before being distributed, the water is filtered in a small area in the western portion of the home park, where the red arrow is pointing. Wastewater from cleaning the filtration system is currently disposed of into the septic system for the mobile home park, which is also located in that area. The mobile home park is enrolled in the general permit for their septic system. The filtration and distribution system is in poor condition and is proposed to be replaced. The new system will be installed next to and south of the Raw Water Reservoir. Next photo. This is a close-up showing existing conditions where the new filtration system will be installed. The light color alignments are dirt roads, and the darker linear feature is a small surface water diversion berm to control stormwater. Next photo. This is the same photo showing the layout of the proposed water treatment facility. A new storage tank to hold treated water, shown in blue, will be constructed west of the Raw Water Reservoir. The treatment filters and pumps will be located south of the Raw Water Reservoir at the location shown in green. A new subsurface storage tank and leach field, shown in yellow and orange respectively, will be installed south of the treatment system to hold and dispose of wastewater generated by the filtration system. Next photo, please. This is a ground level view of current conditions at the proposed location of the new water treatment system, looking south toward the community of Scirocco Summit from the edge of the existing raw water reservoir. Next photo. This is a photo of current conditions at approximately the location of the proposed wastewater storage tank and leach field, looking southwest along the alignment of the stormwater berm. Next photo. The proposed facility will use the same basic design as the existing system, which uses a microfiltration process to remove fine particulate matter from the source water, and will upgrade some of the components, add a new enclosed storage tank for holding treated water, and replace the distribution piping. The existing and proposed systems both need to have their filters cleaned periodically, which produces wastewater that needs to be disposed of. The new discharge can't be regulated under the general permit they are currently enrolled in for their septic system. So we have prepared these WDRs for the new discharge. Next slide. Wastewater will be generated by two filter cleaning processes, each of which produces a slightly different waste stream. First, a backwash process will use potable water and compressed air to periodically back flush the filters. No chemicals are added in this process. The backwash wastewater will be held temporarily in a 5,000 gallon HDPE tank to allow solids to settle out prior to using it to irrigate on-site vegetation. Second, the clean in place process uses chemicals to remove precipitates in organic matter that can build up in the filters. The chemicals consist of citric acid, hydrogen peroxide, and a proprietary mixture of citric acid, sodium hydroxide, and sodium gluconate, referred to as MemClean EXA2. The wastewater generated by the clean in place process will be routed into the new wastewater storage tank and eventually discharged to the leach field. Next slide. The backwash process will generate about 100 gallons of wastewater for every 2,000 gallons of treated water produced. The facility is rated to produce up to 8 million gallons of potable water per year, which should result in about 400,000 gallons of backwash wastewater. The clean in place process will use 100 gallons of chemicals for every 400 to 500 hours of operation. Those chemicals will be diluted with 5,000 gallons of water when they are washed out of the filters. In the unlikely event the facility operates 24/7, it could generate up to 112,000 gallons of wastewater per year for a daily average of 306 gallons. Next photo, please. The backwash water is expected to have the same chemical character as the source water, which is the Colorado River Aqueduct. Total dissolved solids content of the Colorado River Aqueduct is reported to range from 550 to 750 milligrams per liter. The clean in place wastewater will be modified by the chemicals, and it would be reasonable to expect a slight increase in total dissolved solids from redissolving precipitates. Testing performed in June of this year found the total dissolved solids content of the clean in place wastewater to be 750 milligrams per liter. The pH was 7.2 and no volatile organic compounds were detected. Factors we considered in putting together the waste discharge requirements and the monitoring and reporting program included that the discharge posed a low threat to groundwater due to the low volume and lack of adverse chemicals. In addition, the depth to groundwater is about 750 feet and the nearest active well is miles away. Based on these factors, the WDRs and MRP requirements are pretty minimal. We are establishing discharge limits of 800 milligrams per liter TDS and a pH range of 6 to 9. Samples are required to be collected semi-annually from the backwash water holding tank and from the clean in place wastewater holding tank. And each of those samples is required to be tested for total dissolved solids and pH. We are also requiring that they provide us with the total dissolved solids data from their existing domestic water sampling program. Wells and groundwater monitoring are not required. The tentative order was posted for public comment. No comments were received either from the discharger or the general public. Therefore, staff recommend adoption of order R72022-0041. Thank you for your time. Are there any questions?
I have a question, but on our agenda, we're supposed to ask if the discharger had any comments, which you said they didn't. Do we need, has there been a change, Madam Clerk?
They told me yesterday that they didn't have any comments,
but
would be available to answer questions.
And do we have any comments from the public this morning?
No, Madam Chair, we do not.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, if it's the same process that's being used, how come this new facility isn't covered by the existing permit general order?
The existing permit is a general permit for the septic system, and they're not supposed to be putting this into the septic system.
Thank you.
Okay, and my question is, since the backwash water and the clean in place water both have the TDS max of 750 in the water quality here,
right,
why are they using raw water from the aqueduct instead of using this backwash water as the dilution water for the one with the chemicals?
I don't know the answer to that. And I you're asking if they can use the backwash water from the backwash process as part of their dilution water for the clean in place
instead of the raw water.
So what they're using to remove the clean in place water from is actually treated water. So they don't want to take water that they backwashed water, but it still has particulates in it. They don't want to then put that into the filter and try to push it back the filter the other way. So there's enough suspended solids in the back flush water that they don't want to put it into the filters as part of the clean in place process. They use treated water to do that.
So they can irrigate with that water.
Right. That's what they're going to do. They're going to irrigate with the back flush water because there's no chemicals added to it. And then the other water that has chemicals added to it, they're not going to irrigate with it. They're going to discharge that in the septic system.
This is for the next time we review this permit maybe, but it seems like with the water quality or the water conservation measures and the drought conditions that we have, it would be nice to be able to filter that backwash water and then use that for the dilution water somehow. I don't know if that process is available, but
it might be more conservative to, after the back flush and it settled back out, put it back into the raw water and just cycle it that way rather than put it on plants. But I'm not the design engineer, so
yeah, just thinking out of the box. Are there any other comments or questions? Okay. Based on that, I'm closing the hearing. May I please have a motion to adopt agenda item 5, which is waste discharge requirements order R7-2022-0041 and the corresponding monitoring and reporting program.
Okay, also move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Could you please take a roll call vote, please?
Chair Powell?
Aye.
Vice Chair Music?
Aye.
Board Member Gonzalez?
Aye.
Board Member Perez?
Aye.
Board Member Satin?
Aye.
Board Member Wright?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Item number 6, which is resolution R7-2022-0044 for the Riverside County Department of Environmental Health and Local Agency Management Program, commonly referred to as the LAMP. This item has been continued to a future board meeting. So we will move on to the informational items on today's agenda. The next item is an executive officer's report from our executive officer, Paula Rasmussen.
Good morning, Madam Chair, board members, and members of the public. Today, the State Board will be considering adoption of the Imperial Valley organophosphate and organochlorine compounds total maximum daily load, the TMDL. This was approved by this board in May of 2022. No comments were received during the State Board public comment period, and it is an uncontested item at the State Board hearing at their meeting today. Moving on, the Water Quality Coordinating Committee was held in Sacramento at the end of October. The meeting was attended in person by our regional board member Wright and virtually by Chair Powell and Vice Chair Music. The theme of the meeting was accelerating climate change action. A panel discussed California's water supply strategy, and a panel of experts from Denmark provided information on their approach to water conservation. During the legal updates, it was noted that the Bagley-Keene flexibility for remote participation at board meetings by board members will expire on July 1st. This means that board members will not be able to participate at board meetings remotely and will need to be physically present. And yesterday, the California-Mexico Border Relations Council met. Updates were provided on border region efforts and tribal collaboration. The annual report to the legislature was presented, and regional board staff participated virtually. Our hiring activities continue. An environmental scientist has been hired for our TMDL program and will be starting tomorrow. And that concludes my report, and I am available for questions.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions? Our virtual board members, any questions? Thank you, Paula. Okay, moving on to item 8, which is the water board member comments. Do any board members have items they would like to address?
I have some notes on the WQCC.
Okay.
And so let me see if I can read my writing here. First of all, they talked about our personal emails, using our personal email addresses versus our regional board email addresses. And what's going on is that if there's a Public Records Act of some kind or something, and you have used your personal email address for some important information that you talked to the district about or the region about, your phone or your whatever you use could actually be taken, so they can look in there, so they can pull out the records that they need. So what they're suggesting is anytime that you actually call the region, it's a good habit to get into it anytime, but especially if you're going to talk about something that is, you know, it might be part of a Public Records Act eventually, to blind copy your regional board address onto the email. That way, the information that the state might need is on their server, and they don't have to use your server and your equipment to try to find out what's going on. So that's always a good thing to remember to do.
And just to interject, it's best to always just use your email, basically your water board's email as your primary email. That would be, I guess, even if at most the like if there's no other option, but because, you know, we do have different retention schedules with our water board's email. And so we want to make sure that we're consistent in terms of what records are out there.
How long are they retained? So 1 year?
Yeah.
So they're retained for 1 year. Okay. Another thing they had mentioned that this—
at least that's my understanding. I have to review that.
Is the state's looking at different ways to try to talk about climate change. And so one of the ways that they're going to start using, I think they probably already had, I've heard it a couple of times, instead of talking climate change, they're going to say hotter and drier environment. So, you know, that's kind of their new thing. They talked about it, had meetings and so a lot of other stuff. But that, to me, that's the one that stuck out the most. Then we had a contingent of people from Denmark, and I found them very interesting. Let me read their vision statement. Denmark's water vision is, we want to be the world's leader in delivering intelligent, sustainable, and efficient water solutions. And then they part of their PowerPoint that they did has a Water Technology Alliance. I think that's what they're called. It says Denmark wants to be the leader in that. And they're including groundwater management, sewer system and resiliency, wastewater and water distribution. And how they got to the WQCC was that Joaquin was invited to Denmark to a conference of theirs, that they had a water conference of theirs in Denmark. And so it kind of happened that California and Denmark kind of became sister agencies or whatever. I know it's a country and an agency, but whatever. And so they're working on this, they're working on pilot projects and whatnot together on this situation. I talked to a couple of them, and what they really want to do is they really want to work in California and see if they can find some projects and whatnot to do. I have passed the word on to a couple water districts, so that might be getting a hold of them. But anyway, we'll see what happens there. I thought I found them very interesting people, and they have a lot of really good ideas about water. Agenda item was called Denmark and California, a partnership in sustainability. So that was the agenda item for them to do their presentation. We had to have photo headshots taken. Did you ever see any of those yet, Paula? So of course they promised that they wouldn't hang them on our walls until we got a chance to look at them. but that was something different. There was recycled water, desal, stormwater, all that stuff was talked about, the challenges about TDS and brine with all of those factors. The new Cali PA secretary, Yana Garcia, she zoomed in and told us about her goals and her priorities for being in her new situation, her new job here. She seems like a really neat lady. I know she knows our region. She's been to the Salton Sea, and she's been to the New River. So that's a good one. And she did say that those were on her priority list. And I think that's about all I have. I have other stuff that, you know, you guys won't probably be interested in. So right. It was, you know what, I think it was probably one of the best WQCCs I've ever been to, as far as the content and stuff. And it was well worth the time. The time went by really fast for me, and so I thought it was very interesting.
Thank you. Just to follow up on something I said earlier, it's actually going to be 120 days. The retention email retention policy is 120 days.
Really?
Yep. So lots.
So shorter. That means if they're in our account after 120 days, they're gone. Correct.
All gone.
Automatically deleted.
There are a few exceptions if there's a hold or if something for a matter needs to be extended for up to a year, but the default rule is including my own emails. So that's something where we used to have a nice long email retention period of 5 years at Office of Chief Counsel, where you could just search back in your old emails and find stuff. No longer the case. So kind of we're moving in the direction of the goldfish here.
Jane, I've got one more thing to say. I just noticed my notes. The contingency from Denmark, they have, one of the guys has a diplomatic immunity. So they have there at the embassy, they have one in Chicago, one in Palo Alto, California. And I think that's the guy that's like the head guy. I think he's the one that has the diplomatic immunity. And then there's a gal in DC. And I think the other one was Houston, Texas. Okay, so they're spread all over the country from Denmark, helping people with water situations. So just wanted to add that.
When you say diplomatic immunity, are they being prosecuted?
No. But I'm saying, and maybe I'm not saying the right terminology. No,
they're like an ambassador.
Oh, they're on mission.
Yeah. They're on a mission. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Are they living in the embassy?
But they are at the embassy. You know,
I think they have four locations like that.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and so the head guy, I think, is in Palo Alto, California. That's why they want to deal with California, because their groundwater is very similar to our groundwater situation. So we have a connection there.
But they get a lot more rain than
they
do.
They get a lot more natural recharge, yes.
I think Ed had a couple of things, and sure. He's also, because I was not able to be on the chair's call, is going to speak about that as well.
Good morning, everyone. Several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go to a groundbreaking in the city of Coachella, Castro Mobile Home Park. They're going to be connecting. They were working with Department of Water Resources, the city of Coachella, and Coachella Valley Water District. I think there's 45 units, and they've got funding to connect to a water system that's going to give them a safe, reliable supply. And then last week on the chair's call, they talked about SGMA, Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and 12 out of 20 plans are not complete yet. These are usually multiple plans. So the state control board discussed how they're going to assist these entities completing their plans. They talked about the governor's water supply strategy and then did a short review of WQCC.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
So, Peter, did you have any comments? Vivian or B, do you guys have any comments?
No.
Okay. We will be sending out the PowerPoint from the chair's call. And also, can we send out the PowerPoints from the WQCC?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get those out for everyone to review. And I found the SGMA PowerPoint very interesting. And there's some explanation in there about a dashboard that I wasn't aware of that was available. It was in the where you can actually go in and look at various groundwater basins, and it brings a lot of information together in a easy to find and easy to navigate location. So you guys might want to save or bookmark that, since we don't save our emails beyond 3 months now, or four months. So anyway. That is the extent of the chair's report. And I thank Ed and Nancy for stepping up and giving reports and participating. Do we have any items for closed session?
No, we do not.
Excellent, thank you. So with that, our meeting is adjourned.
Wow. Go have breakfast.
You know, they're opening the Keaties in the Kink.
I didn't know that.
It's under construction. Yeah, that's what I heard last. I don't worry that they were closing the original one.